Hello, I'm Dr. Steven Spielberg, Editor-in-Chief of Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, the Journal of the Drug Information Association. One of the major positive trends over the last years has been collaborative efforts on the part of the pharmaceutical industry to work together to address and solve issues of concern to all, but not easily addressed individually. Transcelerate Biopharma, Inc., a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the health of people around the world by accelerating and simplifying the research and development of innovative new therapies, serves as a forum for such collaborative efforts. At TIRS, we've published several articles and recorded podcasts from Transcelerate in the past. With me today are Deb Driscoll from Merck, who leads the Transcelerate Quality Management Systems Initiative, and Anne Meeker O'Connell from Johnson & Johnson, who is the lead author of a paper, Enhancing Quality and Efficiency in Clinical Development, through a clinical QMS conceptual framework that appears in the September 2015 issue of TIRS. The paper describes the activities of a Transcelerate working group addressing quality management systems and provides an initial outline of a proposed conceptual framework for a clinical QMS. Deb, could you describe what a quality clinical system is and provide us with some of the background that led to the establishment of this Transcelerate initiative?
Stephen, thank you so much for asking us to join you. To answer your questions, first, what is a clinical quality management system? Well, by definition, a clinical quality management system is an integrated system through which a sponsor organization can systematically plan and achieve clinical quality goals linked to their broader clinical and company strategic goals. So why do we need it? Well, I hope we would all agree that poor quality has broad impacts. Poor quality results in increased agency time and resources and uncertainty in submission reviews, increased sponsor time, energy, effort, and resources in terms of tremendous rework. But the ultimate consequence for poor quality hits the patients and consumers in delays to bring new medicines to the market for those who have unmet medical needs. A clinical quality management system framework would help us to alleviate these issues and speed medicines to the clinic. That said, to date, there's no harmonized regulatory guidance defining the elements of a conceptual clinical quality management system framework. This lack of guidance has led many companies to force a clinical QMS into the framework of ICH Q10 quality management framework designed for GMP, good manufacturing practice, not GCP, good clinical practice. And this has led to clinical conduct inefficiencies. Anne, anything you'd like to add to that?
Deb, I think you highlighted a key challenge. Regulators are really strongly advocating for quality management systems and clinical development, but this has primarily been through presentations and journal publications. So if you listen, each regulator is describing it slightly differently. From MHRA's gray guide that really focuses on policies, procedures, training, and documentation, and at the other end of the spectrum, you have FDA's Janet Woodcock talking more expansively about governance, tone at the top, policies, procedures, training, risk-based auditing and monitoring and continuous improvement. And so there's no formal guidance distilling this down to a global harmonized vision of what an effective and efficient clinical QMS should entail. So organizations end up looking for regulatory guidance that describes a quality management system, and that's what leads them down the path to ICH Q10, which, as you noted, isn't fit for purpose for the clinical world.
For those who are a bit unfamiliar in the past with how QMS works, what problems were addressed by the process of QMS?
As I mentioned before, a focused, well-integrated clinical QMS will have a tremendous impact on reducing sponsor time, energy, effort, and resources in terms of rework. Most importantly, a well-executed clinical quality management system will support expediting and bringing new medicines to patients with unmet medical need. Anne, would you like to add more?
Sure, Deb. As part of our background research in developing the outline that's in the publication, we interviewed both clinical and quality professionals within the Transcelerate member companies, and we wanted to get their perspective on their existing clinical QMS. And generally, when they evaluated their current QMS in terms of effectiveness and in terms of efficiency on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, the scores were average, regardless of where they sat within the organization. So the average score for effectiveness was 6.8, and efficiency was lower at 6.2. And some organizations gave very low marks in both areas. So I think we have clear opportunities for improvement. We also talked to them about specific challenges that their organizations faced, and culture came out as an area of focus, how to balance operational and business goals with quality goals, for example. At the enterprise level, some companies reported struggling with quality metrics and aligning various lower-level dashboards and disparate systems to provide coherent integrated oversight across their development programs and across functions. Issue management was also an area where the complexity of organizations posed a real challenge in getting information to the right parties and in integrating various issue reporting pathways. Another area, knowledge management, was a challenge where organizations saw substantial value in knowledge management, but really struggled to implement it in a sustainable way. Finally, almost every organization struggled with the volume of procedural documents, some duplicative, and in translating these documents into tangible guidance that's relevant to clinical staff. So this feedback really informed the development of the foundations and the elements that you see in our outline, and we really are looking at this hoping that we can move the bar on both effectiveness and efficiency.
Thanks. What are some of the key points and highlights of the conceptual framework that you developed by the initiative?
So the DIA publication outlines a conceptual framework that we think organizations can use to holistically manage quality across the range of clinical activities that they may carry out, from phase one through post-marketing studies, including both interventional and non-interventional studies. So we think it truly is enterprise-focused. In developing the outline, we've also kept two core concepts in mind. We want this approach to be proactive, so we're identifying risks to quality and preventing them from becoming issues. And we also want the conceptual framework we're developing to be flexible, so that it can be adapted by any organization, regardless of its size or operating context. And as we've worked on developing the initial vision and outline, we were initially thinking primarily of clinical trial sponsors. But through our outreach and dialogue, we've realized that the conceptual framework may also be useful for sites and for other parties. For sites, the framework may help sponsors be a better partner to them, and sites themselves may have interest in adapting parts of the conceptual framework to their unique research context. And at the end of the day, we think that a conceptual framework will enable consistent and timely delivery of reliable data by any organization to support informed decision-making about the use of a medicinal product. And that's whether that decision is by the organization, by a regulator, a clinician, or a patient or consumer.
What are the next steps for the conceptual framework? I understand there's some interest in developing a new ICH guidance based on this work.
Yeah, so we've just finished work turning the initial outline into a full concept paper that describes the foundational aspects and individual elements in a bit more detail. We have other sub-teams within the QMS initiative doing deeper dives into two elements, knowledge management and issue management, and these are the areas where our member companies have struggled to find adequate holistic approaches. But you're right, our ultimate goal is to encourage regulatory alignment on a clinical QMS conceptual framework. And to that end, we have been and will continue to engage with our regulatory counterparts. And ideally, this would be something that would be taken up by ICH to develop harmonized guidance, just like our manufacturing colleagues have guidance in ICH Q10.
Is there any other work that you're covering now or planning for as part of this initiative that you'd like to share?
I'd like to highlight a couple that Anne called out earlier in our discussion today. Those are the two proposed elements of the conceptual framework, issue management and knowledge management. And as we finish up that work, there's been a lot of interest from the member companies, and we're hoping to continue these deeper dives into the elements of the quality management system, and we'd like to focus on key areas such as measuring quality.
Do you have any final thoughts on Transcelerate and the collaborative process as such? I certainly remain amazed at the work that's been accomplished to date in the so-called pre-competitive space and how effective collaboration has been.
I can't agree more. Working with Transcelerate and the member companies, there's 20 or more of us now, has been such a positive and engaging experience. It's really, really much easier to get things done collaboratively with subject matter experts outside the walls of the companies. And I think the work that we've done really shows that success.
Yeah, I completely agree. What's been particularly valuable to me is not only the opportunity to engage with member companies, but to really glean insights from other parties in the clinical trial enterprise and also from other non-pharma industries. I think it's just incredibly powerful what we can do together.
Deb and Anne, thank you so much for providing us these insights. This ends our podcast today. To read their paper on enhancing quality and efficiency in clinical development through a clinical QMS framework and related papers, please go to tirs.sagepub.com. That's TIRS.SAGEPUB.com.